12 minutes after 5 o'clock, final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch with you right up to the finish line at 6, and then coming up later tonight, we've got boys basketball coming your way, Midview at North Ridgeville. I will be out at the North Ridgeville Academic Center with Jared Kozar for our Center for Orthopedics Cage matchup. Pre-game tentatively scheduled for 6:30 with a tip time at 7 o'clock. But it's time now for us to go right back into our local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. We've got Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram here in studio. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Oh, staying busy as always.
I feel like that's my mantra now.
Well, in your line of work, that's a good thing because no news isn't always good news in that regard.
True.
Well, there's a lot of news to get into, and there are always some interesting stories they have you working on. For example, this first one here. What do we know about this situation involving this gentleman named Ryan Winborn, who is suing Best Buy?
So this was an interesting civil suit that I picked up at the courthouse, where Mr. Winborn had, back in December of 2018, according to his story, simply gone to Best Buy to return a defective item. So he went over to the Best Buy at Midway Mall and returned the defective item, got a gift card in return for, you know, for his purchase price, and was walking out the door when he claims that he was stopped, detained, and I don't know, I guess maybe the term would be assaulted or at least held against his will by loss prevention employees.
Harassed? Is that better?
I would think, yeah, that might okay. That might be a, according to his story, might be a good term. And he said that they accused him of stealing. And it was only very, you know, it took a little talking and working things out to realize that, yes, indeed, he was meant to be there and had a valid reason to be there, hadn't stolen anything. And he was released. No criminal charges were filed. But a year later, he's now filed suit against Best Buy, which, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners will know, is closing their Elyria location. He is suing for, basically for harassment and for, detention and improper detention, I guess you might say, and kind of the refusal to let him go on his merry way. Spoke very briefly with his attorney, who said Ryan's a good guy. Did not hear back from a spokesperson for Best Buy. Still hoping to. There's still always that chance, but it was just kind of an interesting little situation, to come up in court. So we'll kind of follow that one and see where that goes.
Well, another story I know that you guys are following very closely. Boy, last week, that robbery at Fifth Third Bank down in Wellington, I know that certainly got a lot of attention. And, you know, the FBI has gotten involved here, too. Any new updates on that situation?
Nothing really all that new. I mean, a real scary situation. You know, the FBI, you know, Wellington PD, FBI, a couple other agencies, you know, called in. The Fifth Third Bank was robbed, just before 4 o'clock. On the 15th, and masked man, probably white guy, kind of dark yellow, maybe mustard colored ski mask, a really kind of noticeable, really kind of I don't want to say flamboyant, but a leather jacket that, like, if you see this on this guy, you're gonna know, this is the guy. And jeans on, went in, asked the teller for money. Nobody got hurt. He fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. Cops are out there with their, with their semi-automatic rifles, searching backyards, they dogs out. FBI got involved because it's a federal crime to rob a bank. And that was a real scary situation, I'm sure, for a lot of people down there. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. But Wellington PD and the FBI are still looking for this guy. So if you know where he is, or if you think please give a call to your local law enforcement or either of those agencies, and let's get this guy off the street, right?
Yeah, and that was going on, what, 6 days ago? I believe it was last Wednesday.
Just about, yeah, yeah. And that's, my colleague Jason Hawk with the, who does a lot of Oberlin-Wellington reporting, basically said, this isn't the first time, I guess, a bank in Wellington's been robbed before, and most of the other ones have been resolved within about a week. You know, they've caught up to the potential, the potential culprit or the accused, and found out who that was and prosecuted and done their thing. So it's, it's a little, with given that getup that he was wearing, it might be a little surprising maybe to the layperson that he hasn't been caught yet, but I mean, there's any number of reasons why not. But again, if you know anything, if you see something, say something and, contact your authorities and we'll see what happens with that case. And if we do have an arrest, you'll read about it first at ChronicleT.com.
Getting away from that and moving into something maybe a little bit more uplifting here. Bids for the Central Public Library. News on that has come out here over the last couple of days. And, boy, we're really hoping that they get that library built here over the next year and change. The idea is it's supposed to be completed by the spring of 2021. And I hope it goes up by the spring of 2021 because it seems kind of empty out there next to you guys at the Chronicle.
Yeah, it's a surprise too because I mean when I first came into town about 16 months ago to work at the Chronicle, it was like you had a couple buildings there, a couple red brick buildings, a kind of a taller building with apartments and businesses downstairs and all that's been gone. I don't even know how long now. But it's odd to kind of see that big empty space, but. The architectural drawings, the renderings of this building are really, really kind of cool. They look real interesting. I know there's been some issue, about what the materials that are going to be used, and it is a multi-million-dollar project. I mean, this is going to be a place where people, can stop in, if they don't have a home computer, get on the internet, look for jobs, look for information. Kids can walk in and do school projects. You can just go in and get a book or a DVD or, pot. I mean, they lend out pots and pans and, cake pans and cookie cutters and sewing machines. I didn't realize that libraries had so much of that stuff until I started writing about what libraries have. and that's really neat. And they'll be moving out of a, too small, building on Washington Avenue, which has asbestos up in the ceiling. It's nothing that's dangerous to people, just walking around in there. But they decided it was too expensive and just not financially, a good idea to rehabilitate that building. Don't know what's going to happen with the old one, but Shook Construction is going to be hosting subcontractors January 29th and 31st at the Central Branch, again, just up the street here. For construction in the Central Branch. The bid period's kind of like end of February to kind of mid to late March. A couple sessions, and we have this all at ChronicleT.com, but January 29th sessions will be 9 to 11 at the South Library on 15th Street, 2 to 4 at the West River Library, 1194 West River Road. January 31st, 9 to 11, current Central Library, 320 Washington. The building's going to be 22,500 square foot slab with steel and masonry and all that other kind of stuff. So if you're a subcontractor, go put in your bid and figure that out. And all that's courtesy of reporting by my colleague, Lena Yost.
Again, we've got you locked into the local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Okay, a couple of days after you left last week, you put together a really interesting story about a gentleman named David Hertz, who is now the interim chief of staff at Oberlin. So what were your major takeaways in putting this together, and what can you tell us about Mr. Hertz?
Well, Mr. Hertz is a public relations professional with Dixon Eaton in Cleveland. Dixon Eaton has, as one of its clients, Oberlin College. So when I found out that Mr. Hertz, who is pretty well known in the northern Ohio, northeast Ohio journalism field, he was at the Akron Beacon Journal back in 1994 when they won a Pulitzer Prize for a series on race that they put together about, race and the community and how it affects, how we view each other. And a very well-written series. I knew a couple of other journalists who were on that and got to work with them in subsequent years. A lot of them ended up actually going into PR. But Mr. Hertz is a public relations executive, managing partner with Dixon Eaton. Basically, his role now is going to be the interim chief of staff to President Carmen Twilley Ambar at Oberlin College, taking over for retiring Ferd Protzman, who himself was a quite accomplished journalist over the years, and Ferd had been at Oberlin College for some years now. I think at least, I want to say, you know, 10, 12, 13 years. He had been, journalism professor there, a lecturer on rhetoric and composition. He was also, a communications assistant to former President Marvin Krizlov. Excuse me. And he was well known in the community, worked on a bunch of different boards and stuff. And I think Mr. Protsman just kind of wanted to quietly retire and go about his business. But he wrote a number of really substantial articles, especially around the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Fluent in German, so he worked in Germany, worked, you know, for the New York Times, did some writing for the Washington Post. But it's sad to see Ferd go, but David Hertz is going to be the interim chief of staff, and he shadowed Ferd Protsman around campus and kind of got the lay of the land. And he was telling me that he's real excited to kind of be part of the leadership change that that President Ambar is putting in place. You know, there's a couple new deans down at Oberlin College, a couple new vice presidents who are working on some projects down there. He said will be real exciting down the line. A normal change in leadership. It doesn't seem to stem from anything such as like the Gibson's Bakery lawsuit. I looked into that a bit and looked into some rumors and some things that were going around town. But this is just kind of one of those things where you need to put somebody in place. And it's good for a college to kind of say, hey, we need somebody who is good at advertising, good at marketing, good at, you know, putting a face to our brand, which they are a brand. Many industries and universities and things like that are brands now. Just look at Ohio State. So David and I had a real nice conversation one night and interviewed him a little bit, asked him some questions, and he said he was excited to see what Oberlin and Lorain County have to offer.
Very good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, ranging from a couple of court cases to the Lorain County commissioners, you've got a lot on your plate here the next few days, my man. So what kinds of stories are you working on that we might be able to read in the Chronicle Telegram over the next few days?
Well, I was sitting in court today. There was a Lorain murder case from 2016 that's working its way through the initial stages. We had jury selection in the 2016 murder of Lonnie Smith. The defendant in this case, the accused is Larry Brown. And you'll be seeing more about that in tomorrow's Chronicle and at ChronicleT.com. That proves to be a very interesting trial. Should last about a week or so. Sometime into next week, I think Judge Chris Cook was saying that he expects the jury will get the case about then. Several other larger cases, at least two more murder trials should be starting, barring any kind of last minute pleas or changes of date changes, things like that, should be starting here in the next couple of days. And of course, we're still ramping up to the March primary on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. I almost said 14th, March 17th primary. So I'll be having some election related stories coming up here real soon.
Very good stuff. Well, we can't cut you loose without talking about some of these scanner stories. You had a really good one last week on the APP Oddities. Great follow on Twitter, by the way. Thought that was fantastic about that Kansas guy asking if he could battle his ex-wife with a sword. Thought that was hilarious. So what kinds of goodies do you have for us this week?
Well, I'll give you one that I held a little while, but I can't. I can hold it no longer. Dateline Cleveland, overdose. From the scan, things we hear on the scanner. What did the patient say she overdosed on? Quoting another person on the scanner, Pepto-Bismol. Pepto-Bismol? Yes, that's what I said.
Wow, the pink stuff. Oh, boy. Jeez, oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's a rough, that sounds like a real rough overdose. If you've taken too much Pepto, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's, I'm having some really really bad visions of that. Oh, my goodness. That stuff just did not taste good. Like, you never drank that stuff if you ever felt kind of okay. That was like a last resort to me to take that stuff.
Seems like the nuclear option there.
Yes, that's, yeah. That's man, that was absolutely the nuclear option. Oh, man. Well, Dave, as always, we appreciate you stopping by in studio and going over all this good material. We look forward to reading all of your stuff in the coming days here on the Chronicle Telegram and talking about all of it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it already.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much. That's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. See Jim and Bob and the whole gang down at Vandermark Jewelers. They are on Broad Street in Elyria, right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. When you head on down there, you will have a terrific jewelry buying experience. I would know because every time I go into Vandermark Jewelers, I always have a sensational jewelry buying experience. They are a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. We have the University Hospitals, You and Your Health segment coming up right after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.